So I got to see the Dalai Lama on Friday morning at SDSU with about 25,000 other people, including a handful of folks from our fellowship. He is one of the most recognizable people on the planet and is pretty universally revered for his wisdom and spiritual leadership. He's known to have a tremendous mind for scientific information and refers to himself as half scientist and half monk. What has always impressed me the most about His Holiness is his playful, joyful, curious nature and that impish smile that he always seems to have on his face. Among other things that he talked about on Friday, he talked about the need for all of humanity to see one another as beloved brothers and sisters, to see past the surface differences that we allow to separate us. My favorite moment was when he invited one of his translators up to the microphone to explain an idea in English that he was having a hard time finding words for. And so the man in a formal suit and tie stepped up to the podium, and the Dalai Lama stepped aside, and he reached up and he began playing with the man's hair, twirling his fingers in the man's hair. It was such an innocent, childlike, and delightful gesture that the audience just broke out into laughter. The scene was so sweet and cute, and I don't remember even hearing the words that the translator said. It just didn't matter. The bigger message was very clear. Love and connection and playfulness are our natural state, just as they were when we were little children. Spiritual growth is ultimately about remembering that. Compassion for other people happens easily and naturally as a result of remembering that. So what is keeping us from remembering? Our ego selves, that small self, part of us that thinks of our personality. It's all about comparing and contrasting and judging and separating and dividing us from one another. So our task really is simple. It is to find and to lift all the barriers that we have erected in our mind against love, against feeling joyfully and playfully connected to other people. I said it was simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Before we can begin to remove the barriers, we need to learn to see them. We need to develop our spiritual sight so that we can notice when our thoughts are creating the felt sense of separation and division. Mindfulness is like a spiritual workout. Just with any exercise, it gets easier with time. We strengthen our mental muscles, and our abilities will naturally grow and develop. Shame. Shame is the main emotional force that, like a heavy, dark cloud, blocks out love. You know when you feel ashamed because it just feels terrible in your body. There's that sinking feeling in your gut, that awful emotional recoiling, drawing yourself back in the horrifying realization that you've somehow made a terrible mistake. Maybe you misjudged how safe it was to be as vulnerable as you were. There's an urge to hide, to isolate ourselves from other people, which only serves to block us further from receiving the love and care and connection with others. Of course, shame is a powerful tool that parents use in crucial moments to help teach children right from wrong. But like any tool, it can also become a weapon. Shame becomes harmful when it is overused. So many of us carry shame around with us everywhere we go, and often without even realizing it. We think of it as our normal state. But shame is a heavy burden on our spirits. It makes us feel perpetually unworthy of love and forgiveness. Again, this is where mindfulness and learning to notice is the first step in healing. Our task is to remember that lightness of being and joy are possible. And yes, even for you. There's nothing that you have done that is so bad that you do not deserve love and care and nurturance. Confession and forgiveness have been used in conjunction to help lift the dark cloud of shame and allow the light of love to once again brighten our spirits. Maybe it's time to bring back the ritual of confession into our Unitarian Universalist practices. The cover of your order of service, there's a photograph of a father and a child asleep together, napping in an easy chair. Maybe you can see from their body language that they clearly share a bond of nurturance and care. I'll tell you, I know that they do because the little 5-year-old girl in the photo is myself. I am so grateful that I was blessed with having a loving, nurturing, and very playful father who often had a little impish grin on his face. I know that not everyone gets to have such a sweet and nurturing relationship with their dad. In our culture, many men have a difficult time accessing the softer, more emotionally sensitive sides of themselves. Men are taught that in order to be real men, as distinct from women, they have to dismiss, ignore, banish their more vulnerable emotions, and with that, their ability to be sensitive and nurturing with others. I've come to believe that this cultural shaming of men and boys for having a softer side is toxic to humanity. It is the basis for patriarchy, misogyny, and rape culture. And it needs to be healed before we are ever going to know peace. I recently read an extremely helpful and insightful article called "The Opposite of Rape Culture is Nurturance Culture" by Nora Samarin. It was posted online in February of last year. The article is lengthy. It's over 5,000 words long, and it goes into a great deal of detail about the cutting edge neuroscience around attachment theory. And it helped to help the reader understand what her ideas about how we might begin to shift the culture. So I commend that piece to you, and I'll figure out how to put a link on our website so you can find it easily. Another blogger, a woman, Anne Dislandis, sums up the whole article by saying, "Samarin proposes that the solution to rape culture and other manifestations of gendered abuse lies in the inverse of violence, which she says is nurturance. That is a deep capacity to create safety and trust that many men are not permitted to develop in patriarchal culture. Patriarchal masculinity, as Samarin observes, teaches men that healthy attachment needs, such as attunement, comfort, and responsiveness, or emotional availability, are weak and wrong. As such, men become less able to experience women as whole beings, and are less able to make sense of their own needs. So as the author argues, if men can work together to connect with their capacity to nurture and to teach each other the skills and qualities of healthy attachment, violence against women and non-binary folks might be turned around to its opposite, nurturance." The article got hundreds and thousands of hits in the first few weeks that it was posted. One of her main points was that in our culture, there are few places where men can learn from other men how to develop their skills of nurturance. The author invited people to comment and to submit their own descriptions of what the nurturance that she is proposing looks like. So dozens of stories came pouring in from husbands and boyfriends and lovers and friends and brothers and fathers. Many of the responses were from men who wanted to share their understanding of the skills of nurturance. So here is just one of those responses she received from one of the men. For at least a little while, especially when someone you are with is in need of nurture, let go of your own needs and desires. What does that mean? It means stop thinking about anything related to yourself, how you feel, what you need, what you think is best. Just listen, and listen very closely. Try to imagine what it must be like to be this other person. Absorb everything you know about their history and experiences and try to embody these. Listen to what they are saying and repeat it back to them in order to clarify whether or not you've actually absorbed the essential meaning of what they are communicating to you. So on this Father's Day, I lift up the hope that collective healing is possible. I believe that when we are all finally able to create safe and nurturing bonds of trust and care for one another, that a universal warm glow of meaning and purpose will emerge. We will each be able to bring our whole, unguarded selves without shame into all our interactions. Sexism, racism, homophobia, transphobia, and all the other fears and judgments that hold us divided from one another will fall away when we learn to let go of these blocks to love. This is the beloved community. This is the kingdom of heaven on earth, where justice and compassion will flow naturally as we hold one another with love and respect as brothers and sisters and siblings. May you each have the opportunity to nurture somebody today. And may you allow somebody to nurture you. In this small way, we begin to transform the world, one interaction, one relationship, one sweet gesture, one impish smile at a time. I love you. Amen, and blessed be.